Oh boy. Okay, here we go. It is 1930 UTC, the time at which the Dubious Goals Committee always begins. Welcome. My name is Tobe. I am, in fact, the chairman of this, the Dubious Goals Committee. And what am I doing? Oh, well, not much. I stayed up too late last night watching an Akira Kurosawa film, one of his Shakespeare films. I forget the title, but it's the one that's based on Hamlet. It's the businessman and the blah, blah, blah. The cake that gets... I'm not going to tell you about it. You should have already seen it. These are classics. Akira Kurosawa. Probably my favorite director of all time. So I did that last night. And now I'm up and I'm thinking, am I tired? I'm not really all that tired. Kind of. I got a little bit of tea here, but it's kind of hot. Am I going to have to make more tea? I probably should. Let's see how hot it is. It is kind of hot. Oh, but it's good though. So anyway, other things I did yesterday that were mildly interesting, and this is an update. This is an update on my amplifier project. If you've been wondering, hey Tobe, what progress have you made on your amplifier? Well, allow me to tell you at this time. I did have to take a few days off last week. Just because I was kind of messed up. I wasn't feeling too good, and I... blah, blah, blah. All the usual stuff, but... last couple of days, I've managed to put in some time. And as of yesterday, I reached a milestone. The boards are finished. Yay! Let me repeat that. The boards are finally finished. All the parts got installed... and remember, this is not a regular circuit board. This is an eyelet board. This isn't a weird, annoying thing that's kind of a pain. Oh, yeah, speaking of kind of a pain, who's this? Hi, Yowpers. Are you going somewhere? Oh, okay, you coming back? I'm going to do some kitty stuff. I'll get the blankie ready. Okay, so now we got to get the blanket ready. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, get your furry butt in there. Yes, oh, it's such a nice place to sit for a kitty. Yes, oh, it's so nice. Hello. Hi. You want to say something into the radios? You want to talk to the radio people? Nope, cats are not talking today. So anyway, yeah, I got all the parts installed in both the boards. There's a little one, the bias board. What are we biasing? The grids on the tubes? I don't know if I've actually figured out how this amp works. And I finished the main board, put all the parts in, then I started getting paranoid, nervous, thinking, oh, I might have done something wrong, and so I double-checked that, and we went, me and my dad went through all the steps, he was reading off the steps and the parts, and then I was double-checking and triple-checking, and good Lord, I hope I got the parts in the right place, because it's going to be extremely difficult to fix any problems. It's not like a circuit board where you can just desolder the part and take it out. These eyelet boards are kind of a little tough to undo. So after triple checking everything, I soldered them all up. Then I double and triple checked all the solder joints and stuff. And the boards are finished. The next thing that needs to happen is they need to go into the chassis. And then all of the wires hanging off the boards need to be soldered to their appropriate pieces on the chassis. Like the knobs and the jacks. You know, this kind of stuff. And the tubes. Got to solder all these things to the tube sockets, and that's going to be fun. So we're slowly but surely getting there. That's what I did yesterday for a while. And then me and my dad went out to eat, and I had some yummy enchiladas. Yeah, what do you think about that, Peppa? I had enchiladas last night for dinner. It was pretty good. Nom, nom, nom. What else did I do last night? Oh, I watched a couple things. I watched a couple of things on YouTube. And because I've been watching stuff about music, stuff about professional musicians, these poor guys, I feel terrible for them. I watched, you know, YouTube recommended some videos for me. One of those recommendations being this vlog of this guy who is a drummer on a cruise ship. He's got the cruise ship gig. Oh, and I had to laugh. I feel sorry for these guys because, you know, they go to music school and they get their music school degrees. And I don't know what they think they're going to do. But, you know, oh, they come out with professional gigs. And they get on the cruise ships. But regardless, I was watching cruise ship drummer guy. And he's including footage from his shows. You know, he puts like a camera on his music stand and he records himself playing. And you can kind of see the show. You can kind of see the other musicians. And it was weird. It was weird for me because it invoked a certain nostalgia in me. And I try not to get nostalgic. I'm not the retro guy. I'm not the guy living in the 80s or the 90s. You know some of these people. Think about it. You know somebody who's stuck in the past somehow. I do not want to be that guy because I just know way too many of those people. People who say such idiotic things as, oh, remember high school? Those were the best days of our lives. No, maybe they were the best days of your life. I'm having the best days of my life right now. Maybe you shouldn't have gotten married. Maybe you shouldn't have said that in front of your wife. Yeah, that's an actual quote from a friend of mine who said that in front of his wife and child. Anywho. You might be wondering, Tobe, how could you possibly be nostalgic for a guy playing drums for cheesy cruise ship shows? Well, how do I get nostalgic about that? I used to do that, sort of, kind of, in a different way. I'm not a drummer, and I've never worked on a cruise ship. But I used to run those kinds of shows. What kind of shows? You know, those meaningless professional shows. The light entertainment shows. I used to work at an amusement park when I was younger. I worked at the local amusement park, and it was not exactly one of your big mainstream amusement parks. You've never heard of it. Well, unless you're from here. It was called Peony Park. And its history is long and kind of interesting. But by the time I started working there, Peony Park was on the downhill slope. It was going down. And it closed a couple years after that. But regardless, at one point in time, they decided, oh, we got to update this park. It was a small trolley park, if you understand what a trolley park is. But they had a big swimming pool with an artificial sand beach and all this stuff. And at one point in time, to sort of try to bring the business back, they built a theater. And they built a building for having shows, just like all the other amusement parks in the world. You've seen these shows. You're probably familiar with them. You go in, you sit down, the lights come up, there's a small band on stage, and half a dozen people come out and they start singing songs. And they sing medleys of pop music throughout the ages. Sort of variety show style. You know, the way the old 70s variety shows used to open up. And sometimes there's multimedia stuff going on in the background. Maybe there's some slide projectors or a little bit of video or something, and blah, blah, blah. Well, that's what I used to do. I used to be the guy running the show. I would sit up in my little booth, and I had all these fun boards in front of me, big sound boards, big lighting boards, big tape deck, all this kind of stuff, all these fun toys. That was a great job. I kind of wish I was still doing that because, oh, it was easy. It was easy, but it was cheesy. Oh, these shows from behind the scenes are kind of sketchy. You just sort of go, And if you don't know what's going on, you don't want to know because it sort of pierces the veil. Once you learn how this is going down, you become less impressed. Because these shows, we did not produce them locally. These shows were bought as a package from, I don't know, some company that does this. And basically what they do is they write the show, they create the music, they record the backing tracks, they print the charts for a live band, they do all this stuff, then they train somebody, and then there's a head performer, and basically when you buy this package from this company, they send in the head performer, and the head performer, they also send in the band, and the head performer then auditions and hires local talent to fill out the show. And the way this show works is they send you a tape. They send you a half-inch multi-track tape. I think it was 8-track. And on this tape are a few things. One track is reserved for lighting cues, and so the lighting cues are recorded onto that one track. Then there's a buffer track, and then there's the music tracks. And there's a few tracks of, well, filler instruments. There is a band on stage, but this is a very stripped down band. There's only 3 people in it. You got a drummer, a guitar player, and a keyboard player. And so there's a few other instrumental tracks to this added to this tape, including a click track for the drummer. And then there's a couple of tracks of background vocals. And even though they're supposed to be, you know, 6 people singing on stage, they're not singing it most of the time. They are faking it. They are lip syncing. It is pantomime. Because people can't sing and dance at the same time. That is not possible. Every time you see somebody doing this, it is faked. That is not really what's happening. No, Madonna is not really singing as she's running around and doing her little dance stripper moves on stage. And if you want to argue about that, I can point out the flaws in your thinking later. But these people, they do sing when they have their solos. And each singer has a couple of solos where they sing a chorus or a verse of whatever popular song before it goes to the chorus and then switches songs. And it's all very cheesy. But it looks good because it looks like you got live music. It looks like, oh, wow, there's 6 singers in a live band. And, oh, it sounds great. Except, yeah, Where's that horn line coming from? Oh, maybe it's just the guy playing it on the synthesizer. Yeah, no. It's all on tape. It's all fake. But it was sort of fun doing these shows just because, well, When I was watching the video of the drummer on the cruise ship, I was wondering, is there a me somewhere trying to mess this guy up? Is there a guy in the booth trying to get the drummer to screw up? Because the thing of it is, when you have this job, you are doing multiple shows a day, and you're doing the exact same show. And when I was doing this, we actually had two different shows that we did. There was an indoor show and an outdoor show, and they were different. And so you're doing, just for example, the indoor show, you're doing that four times a day, every day, every single day of the week, all summer. You get, not only do you learn this show and memorize it pretty quickly, you get sick and tired of playing it after about 3 weeks. So I used to try to mess these guys up just as entertainment. Because basically how this all goes down is once showtime arrives, once the curtain time arrives, the cast, they'll call you up from the phone backstage. They call the booth. I pick it up. I say, hello. And they say, we're ready. And I say, okay, 10 seconds or whatever. I hang up the phone. I count to 10, and I hit play on the tape. Okay, this is where it gets weird. Because all the lighting cues are everything and everything are on the tape starts to roll, and then the house lights come down. And then the band comes out on stage. They put their monitors on, and the drummer starts listening to the click track, which has got clicks on it. Sounds just like a metronome, and it has audio cues. You know, so it'll be going tok 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 tok. Then you'll hear a voice, two bars until start. Okay, right? So then you hear the drummer go 1, 2, 3, 4, and you think he's counting off because it sounds super authentic, but he's listening to the click track. And then the band starts playing. And while the band starts playing, the tracks on the tape are also start playing. And so it sounds like these three guys are creating a full, you know, 9-piece band sound. And the singers come out and they start singing. They do their whole thing. And this whole damn show runs about 35 minutes. And it's kind of dull. But it's funny. It's pop music and all the kids going crazy. And the worst part of it is being this amusement park was a little bit different than most in that it was kind of cheap to get in, and people would buy summer passes, and so you would end up with the same people coming because there was a swimming pool, and so it was a place for kids to hang out. It was much more of a hangout than it was sort of an amusement park. Oh, and then you get these girls who would, you know, be regulars, and they would just moon over these guys, and I didn't. Nobody ever explained to these 14-year-old girls that, yes, these beautiful guys that are singing to you are gay. This is showbiz. I mean, come on. It was ridiculous. But after about a month of doing this, you get really bored. It's not fun. You start doing different things. The musicians would start doing different stuff. They would change guitar solos and drum solos and stuff, and they'd be talking to me, hey, give me some kind of effects on here. Let's do something weird, blah, blah, blah. But the thing that I love to do the most would be to talk to them during the show. Because I don't know if you know how much anything about how soundboards work or how theaters are set up or how music works, but I can talk to the musicians right into their ears because, you know, they've got headphones on. Or at least the drummer usually did. No, the drummer always did. The keyboard player usually did. The guitar player would be wearing headphones or an earphone monitor until his solo, when he could walk out onto the middle of the stage and do his cheesy 80s guitar, you know. If you don't know, just watch old 80s videos. And so, yeah, I had a talkback mic on the board. And I could talk to these guys during the show, and I would try to make them laugh. I would try to make them screw up. You know, it's not like I would, you know, go off on weird discourses or anything, but when there was funny cue changes and stuff, I would say, okay, here comes the banana boat or whatever. Just say strange things that were vaguely related to the music in the show. And I would try to get these guys to mess up. And even if they did screw up, you couldn't tell. If you didn't have the show memorized like we did, and if you weren't a musician, you wouldn't really be able to tell that these guys missed something. But, you know, you could occasionally tell they screwed up, and you could see them laughing. But, you know, if you're watching this in the audience, you just go, oh, look, the band must be having a good time because that drummer, he just started cracking up laughing, and he's doubled over. Well, no, the reason he's laughing is because I'm talking directly into his ear trying to make him screw up. And that was always fun. Oh, there's lots of bizarre stories about those days. It was a trip. And like I said, I wish I still did that. Because it was an extraordinarily easy job. And even though I was only getting paid minimum wage, it didn't matter because I only had to work less than half the time. I'm dead serious. In any 9 or 10 hour shift, I only did about 4 hours of actual work. And even less when you think, well, you know, half an hour of each one of those hours is me just pushing a button and standing there and trying to make a drummer laugh. Okay. When it came down to doing actual physical labor, you know, it was even less. About all the only labor that I had to do was set up mic stands at the beginning of the day and then take mic stands down at the end of the day. You know, lay out some mic cords and just do nothing. Basically, it was only working, you know, 15 minutes out of any given hour, really, or less. And I got to sit around in the air-conditioned theater up in the booth. It was a good time. And I got thinking all about this just because I was watching some drummer on a cruise ship playing some cheesy gig. And he's got his monitor in his ear, and when he's recording his videos, he adds the audio channel from his click track so you can hear the click track that he's drumming to and the audio cues, except now they're robot voices, right? Oh, I was laughing. It was. And then every once in a while he would do something funny, and I was like, yeah, this looks vaguely familiar, and it hasn't changed one bit. And you can kind of see the performers out front, and all these performers are real low rent. Well, let me put it to you this way. Just think of it like this. You know, how good are you if you're a singer on a cruise ship that doesn't have your own band, your own touring gig, you know? It's one of those stepping stones in either direction. You know, if you're an up-and-coming performer, you're trying to make it on Broadway or whatever, yeah, you still need to eat, and so you're going to be doing cruise ship gigs. Maybe you'll break through, maybe you won't. On the other hand, if you were a famous performer a decade ago or 2 decades ago, if you were a famous guitar player in the 80s, nobody gives a crap about you anymore, and you still want to eat, what are you doing? Yeah, you're doing cruise ship gigs where people can go, oh yeah, I remember this band. And that's why you see so many weird cruises like, and these really exist. There's the metal cruise where you can go on a cruise ship and listen to old 80s metal bands. And there's the 70s disco cruise. Now you can get on a cruise ship with KC and the Sunshine Band. And oh man, I guess we should be thankful that we have the cruise ship industry to employ, you know, these musicians. But the worst part of it of the cruise ship is, you know, you're on that damn boat for 6 months. Well, you know, 5 months. If you're one of the gigging musicians, if you're the boat band, you're on that boat for 6 months, 5 to 6 months. And you're not doing as many shows a day. You're only really doing 2 shows a day. but there's sometimes rehearsal and blah, blah, blah. So it's kind of a strange life. Yeah, and you got to live on a boat. You need to live in a closet that has no windows. There's no sunshine coming in. How much are you getting paid considering your room and board are also being taken care of? Yeah, it's kind of a weird job. But hey, that's what you get for going to music school. Good tea. Gotta make more. In about 5 minutes. So I enjoyed that. I enjoyed watching the whole cruise ship thing. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Tobe, if you like doing that so much, and you're just saying you'd love to still be doing it, why don't you take one of these cruise ship gigs? Well, you know, I probably could. I do have the experience. I do know how to do it. I do know how to set it up. You could just turn me loose. That you could just hand me the tape and go, here, go set up the show. The theater's down there. Okay. And then I'll go down and I'll hang the lights. And I'll plug in all the microphone cords. Because I'm a good boy. I can plug in the microphone cords. I don't know if I ever told you this one, but that used to be my job too. I used to work for Midwest Sound and Lighting, a sound reinforcement shop. And whenever we did big live corporate gigs, my job was to plug in the microphone cables and to wind them up. You know, the guy would just give me the giant reel of mic cables and go, okay, just start walking these out. Okay. So then, you know, here's some tape. Tape them all down. Okay. That's all the other guys are working on, all the cool stuff, right? Then after the gig's over, everybody would start ripping these microphone cables up. And it would be my job to run around the entire convention center floor plugging these mic cables into each other while the other guys on the reel are just sitting there winding it up. And I got to... That was my job, to run around and make sure all the mic cables got plugged into each other in time while these guys were winding it up. So, needless to say, I'm extremely good at plugging in mic cables. Nice job. So yes, it's true. I could probably get a job on a cruise ship if I wanted to. I don't think I want to. One, I have a cat. And once you get on one of these boats to do the show, you're on the boat for, the contract is for like 5 or 6 months. You're there for half a year. And, you know, that's not that big of a deal if the theater was downtown and I could come home every night. But no. You are stuck on a boat. Yeah, you would be able to go places, but, you know, you could see parts of the world, touristy parts of the world, the old parts of the world that interest old people. So it's really not for me. I don't want to be stuck on a boat for 8 months or 5 months or whatever. I got stuff to do. But I'll tell you right now, if any cheesy little amusement park opens back up here, which isn't going to happen, I'll be the first in line to be the guy standing up into the booth, talking softly into the monitor circuit, trying to get the drummer to screw up. Why would I do this? Because my name is Tobe. I am the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every single day at 1930 UTC, right here on Anon Radio. Well, I gotta go. I gotta do something. I gotta go to the store, then I gotta go work on my amp some more. So, bye-bye. See you tomorrow.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.